are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, welcome again to this special one-hour program from 6 to 7 on Renew FM. It is a blessing to be able to join you at this 1 hour, and I hope you are finding yourself encouraged as you tune in. Maybe you've been able to tune in daily and listening to the pastors, missionaries, and some of the different hosts that have been taking this time, or the different guests, and I just pray that God has been encouraging you. But we live in an amazing time. COVID-19, I realize we're having that sense a little bit that maybe we're moving forward and things are beginning to open up. It's been an incredible couple months. And so we've just turned on our microphones and have been using this opportunity to point you to the Lord and to encourage you. And today I have a special guest, and he's a pastor that pastors a church in the Portsmouth, New Hampshire area, Calvary Chapel, Great Bay. And he is Pastor Jim Davis. So, Jim, welcome to Renew FM.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Jim, thank you for joining us. I think back a number of years ago, you joined me in the studio a couple times, and we were part of some sort of program at this time. I think it was Pastor's Perspectives. But I appreciate you being part of this. It's something I believe our listeners have been encouraged by, and I certainly have heard from quite a few of them, and we've received emails and phone calls and so forth. But, Jim, you know, just using this time, pastors just sharing their hearts, missionaries around the world, we're all in this together and trying to just to encourage the church. And it's a blessing to have different pastors with different backgrounds and different, you know, personalities. And, you know, it really is. You hear different things and the heart, you know, of the Lord through it all. And so, you know, Jim, as we get started tonight, you know, as we're on the radio live right now and people are tuning in and, you know, a pastor in New England, you've been here a number of years now. Why don't you first just tell them a little bit about yourself and your church, and then I'd like you, if you would, just what's on your heart? How would you encourage the church in New England at this time?
All right. Yeah, we are Great Bay Calvary. We started around 7 years ago. My wife and I came with a team from the West Coast, and we planted in Portsmouth. Since then, about a year ago, we moved to Dover, New Hampshire. We moved our facility. We really feel a deep call and feel rooted in the New England community. You know, God has been blessing our church. There have been some ups and downs, of course, but we've just gotten to know so many amazing people, and we've seen what God is doing in this area. And I know that, you know, there's a huge spiritual struggle, a war going on, and we are privileged and honored to be part of it, just serving the Lord and sowing seed and seeing families healed and kept together or put back together and lives changed for Jesus Christ. And my wife and I have been married for about 35 years. We have 4 kids, and three of them are married. We have 7 grandkids. And when we left the West Coast to come here, we only had one of our kids that came with us. And we thought we were leaving, you know, our family behind in order to serve God. And then at one point, they all ended up moving here, and then 2 of them moved back. So it's been interesting, but we, although we miss our family and friends that we had to leave, we've been so enriched, honestly, by being here, and we plan to be here until we see Jesus face to face.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, when I think about the whole COVID-19 thing, I remember hearing about it and thinking, okay, God, what is our purpose in this? You know, what's going on in this? Like, I know that God is sovereign and nothing takes him by surprise. You know, he didn't fall off the throne when this happened. He knew it was going to happen. And so my thought is, as a church, as a pastor, as an individual believer, what is he calling me to do? And what is he saying? Look, this is how I want you to be involved. And this is how I want you to live through this thing and walk through this thing, mourning with those who mourn, rejoicing with those who rejoice, and to walk as a faithful believer. And so our church started looking for ways that we could minister, that we could reach out, whether it was just staying in touch online, whether it was texting, calling people, helping emergency responders or delivering food to people that couldn't get out and get groceries or maybe were afraid to get out, and just trying to figure out how do we navigate this. And I just want to tell you, like, our church body just really responded beautifully to try to help people. And we had a wide variety of people in our church. Some were very afraid, and some took it in stride, and they were just trusting and doing their best to serve. But it's been a really interesting teaching lesson for us. And as a pastor, it was challenging to me because, quite honestly, when I first heard that we were supposed to have a stay-at-home order and not have meetings and stuff, that was hard for me. A lot of my pastor friends just said, yeah, we need to do that. We need to shut down the church. And I'm a rule follower by nature, okay? But something in it just seemed so weird, you know? Like, is this a strange precedent that we're setting, allowing ourselves to be shut down? Is this something where we're being silenced and we don't even realize it? We're like little lambs being led to the slaughter. Is that what's happening here, you know? And so I was kind of battling with it. But I thought, no, I need to respect authority and obey. But it didn't set well with me from the very beginning. So I just, like I said, I just wanted to find a way to minister through it and remind our church people that, hey, you have a church, and we are actively serving God. And so, you know, we kept live streaming like most churches. Mm-hmm. We'd already been doing it. Mm-hmm. We had two services on Sunday and a service on Wednesday. We have home meetings that we've been doing online. And, you know, trying to do our best to serve and be faithful. And people, you know, they gave faithfully. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's been amazing. God's been amazing through it, of course. And when we got to, am I talking too much, George?
Oh, no, Jim. No, Jim, you're doing great, man. This is typical with pastors. I get to sit here and listen and be ministered to. So keep going. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to a certain point, and I started really feeling this stirring that we needed to open our church back up, you know. And like I said, I'm a rule follower. I've always wanted to obey authority and felt like that you get much more accomplished if you obey authority. But I felt this stirring, and I started talking to more of my pastor friends who were by this time starting to feel the same thing, like this is going on too long. And logic seemed to be going out the window, you know, like, and I'm not trying to get political here, I promise. Yeah, crazy.
You represent, you know, there's so many different views with different pastors, and there's the big camps, right? You know, what do we do here with this related to the government and all that? No, there are pastors, I'm sure, listening that are identifying with what you're saying, Jim, so.
Okay, so yeah. I started praying about, you know, when, and talking to my board, and which are a group of amazing men who love God. And we're just talking about, you know, what's the right thing to do, because it's defying logic that a business can open at 50% occupancy. I can go into a store and touch every item on the shelf, but I can't set any guidelines in my church and open the doors and tell people we're going to responsibly social distance and be trusted to do that, you know. And so it started feeling more and more to me like, yes, even though COVID-19 is real, it was a real virus. People have gotten sick, and unfortunately some have passed. And I know all of that is real, but it started feeling like, man, this is just going on too long, and it is keeping the church from fulfilling its mission. Like it talks about in Hebrews chapter 10, where it talks about, you know, not forsaking assembling, which, you know, I know that the format of church is, I'm not a traditionalist by nature. I'm not just thinking, well, we have to have traditional church. I mean, what was happening there is the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the body of Christ, who's discouraged and pressed down, and he's encouraging them. And then one of the ways he does that is by saying, look, you need to exhort one another. You need to meet together. And he just kind of, you know, lays it out for them. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, verse 23 of chapter 10 says, yeah. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And, you know, I thought, I'm not looking for traditional church. I understand that the face of church could change. I understand that someday we may be hiding out, having church underground. I get that, and God can still move through that. But that's not where we are in America today. We are right here with the freedom to boldly proclaim Christ, and I want to be part of fighting that fight of faith. And so anyway, talking to our board, we just thought, man, we have to open. And I talked to the police department in our town, and one particular sergeant, and I said, look, and I started off by saying, hypothetically, if a church were to open, and then I said, no, look, we're thinking about opening, and, you know, I explained what I'm doing, and social distancing, and hand sanitizing, and offering masks to anybody who forgot theirs that wants to wear them, and, you know, trying to explain to him that I know he has a calling as a police officer, and I have a calling as a pastor, and, so anyway, he seemed receptive, and, you know, then I got involved with this this group called Cornerstone NH, which is a great guy, Neil Hubaker.
I know the organization, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Mass Family Institute, very similar, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been working with a task force that's getting a document together for our governor to reopen churches, and they've been working, and it looked like maybe that was going to happen right away, but it didn't.
Wow.
And so we had made a decision to open, and we did have service this last week, and it was a blessing to be together, and we're still offering it online, of course, and we told our people, anybody that doesn't want to come or anybody that feel somehow at risk, please, you know, stay home and worship with us online. And I didn't know what the results of that would be. I still don't. But honestly, I just felt like it was what we were supposed to do. And it was a difficult step for this rule follower, you know, but just trusting God. And,
well, you know, it's interesting, Jim, listening to you, because I'm in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts has opened up with a lot of guidelines related to the, you know, COVID-19 safety. And but we are able to open churches to a certain point. And it's quite remarkable that we're able to, and New Hampshire isn't. That is quite a remarkable thing, because Massachusetts, we have a whole lot more cases than New Hampshire and Maine and Vermont. The three northern states of New England seem to have a lot less going on. And but Massachusetts, you know, with the big city Boston, has just got a whole lot more going on with COVID-19. So it is quite an interesting thing that you aren't you're not able to open. I have to confess that. And you know, I've interviewed pastors from different places. One pastor, Johnny Zacchio in Yonkers. Yonkers for a while was right in the middle of it all. You know, as far as the hospitals being overwhelmed right there in New York City, a lot of people dying in his church. And then I've interviewed, you know, pastors like yourself in different places, and where it does seem, you know, the one hat fits all doesn't really work, because people are in very different areas of our country, where even in New England, where things are different. And I was online with some pastors the other day, about a week ago, and some of the pastors in Connecticut, too, that were online were in Connecticut, and both of them were just being honest. One in Western Connecticut, so, you know, not too far from New York, and the other more in the eastern corner. But both churches just afraid because of all the people that are sick in their church, and people that are not only sick, some have died in their churches. So they have a fear about it, even, you know, the pastors and the congregations. And so it really does vary when you talk to different pastors that are in different situations. And in areas of the country where there's just not as much, or in New Hampshire, yeah, I can understand. I can't quite comprehend how the governor of New Hampshire can't open the doors, but the governor of Massachusetts can. That does seem, that would create a real dilemma for churches. So I hear you on that. I hear you on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I really like Governor Sununu in a lot of ways. As far as the stuff that he says and stands for. But in this case, you know, it's so funny because President Trump had come out and said churches are essential. This is the day before or something that Sununu was going to make his announcement. President Trump came out and said that and was very strong, of course, and said that any governor that disagrees could call him, but it wasn't going to get him anywhere and all that stuff. And so I was curious about how Governor Sununu would respond, and he didn't even bring it up. He didn't bring it up in his briefing, but somebody there in the press, a member of the press, asked some questions about it. And, you know, so I was so disappointed, because like you, I felt like, man, Massachusetts opened, and they were really, they had high numbers of people that were infected and everything. So I didn't understand that. But at any rate, I'm hoping that the announcement will come out soon from Governor Sununu, so that my brothers here in New Hampshire can open freely.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yep.
No, I was just saying I don't understand, you know, all of this. I'm so simple, kind of, in the way I think about it, you know, and to me, it certainly seems that what started out as a medical scare has turned into a battle completely different from that, and I don't have people in my church who are sick from COVID, as far as I know, and I'm grateful for that. But I do know that different pastors and churches and families are going through different stuff. And I have a lot of people that are very vocal. I think we all do in our churches.
Sure.
And, you know, people who are saying you shouldn't fear, and fears of the devil, and, you know, you shouldn't fear and wear a mask because it shows you're walking in fear and all that stuff. And I just try to remind them, look, we weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We share the love of Jesus, you know, and we tell them that they don't have to fear. But the truth is that's where they're at right now. And that's that's what they're walking through. And I want people to be able to come to church regardless of what they're dealing with. They come as they are. And so I want people to be able to wear a mask to church if they feel like they need to and not feel condemned or judged. And I always think of 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says, you know, for the sake of the gospel, he is, you know, do you mind if I read that?
Yeah, go for it.
1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. And I just think, you know, if it's going to make people comfortable for me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask when I'm meeting with them. If it's going to make them uncomfortable, I want to take the mask off, because to me, I don't have this conviction that I need to wear a mask, you know. I want people to come to church, to hear the gospel, to be encouraged, to be exhorted. The other day I met a brother at a local restaurant that had outdoor seating. We're having coffee. And nobody sitting out there had a mask on, which really surprised me. Nobody did, and I didn't wear one either because of that. But then when the brother walked up, he had a mask. And I said, would you like me to put my mask on, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I don't need it. I just wear it because I thought other people would be wearing them. And so, you know, it was, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I just want, as a church, for our body, I want them to be accepting of people, encourage them to trust the Lord, but, you know, to do what's necessary to reach out to people.
Yeah, you know, Jim, this is, you know, it's real great to have you on, because I think there are people that are listening that what you've explained, there are certainly listeners that is their challenge too. There's people in ministry, people in churches, people leading churches. This situation with COVID-19 is really, you know, it's something that you didn't train for this, I didn't train for this. You know, I know very little about viruses. I have no medical background, and you know, I have a big government around me. It's true, and trying to figure all this out. All of us are. It's interesting that the difficulty with the situation, and the different struggles. I have had the privilege of interviewing. You know, I interviewed Dr. Lou Wing, and Dr. Lou Wing I'm not sure if you know him. Quite fascinating having him on the air, because he actually works with the pharmaceuticals. He's got a biology PhD. I forget the degree exactly right now, but he works with the pharmaceuticals. He's a pastor. He's a church planner, Bible college professor, you know, but yet works in that industry. And so he was very fascinating. I had him early on, and, you know, we were talking about not forsaking the assembly, but then he brought us to Leviticus, where he explained leprosy is also spread by droplets. Just like he explained the science behind the way leprosy spreads and the way COVID-19, there's the same. And he said, look what God did. You know, God did use isolation. You know, if you even were thought to have it, there was a protocol God even had for the nation to protect the spread. And of course, COVID-19 is so much more contagious than, you know, as far as the, whatever they call that, the number of people you can affect, you know, so quickly. And so he was very fascinating. And then I also had the opportunity to interview Pastor Ed Ray of Southern California. He was at our men's conference, but he also worked towards his PhD. You know, did all that, just didn't get it. You know, he ended up getting called into ministry, but he worked with pharmaceuticals, same sort of thing. And I asked him about his concern, and he was even explaining how he had even met with doctors the day I was interviewing him and trying to discern what to do. And I asked him, you know, do you think it's serious? And, you know, as he explained the viral from his perspective, it's a serious thing. And it's fascinating because I've interviewed these men that have these medical backgrounds and they're pastors, and yet most of us don't have that. And what do we do? What do we do with this situation? And we look and try to discern, you know, as we just talked about, you know, Massachusetts is open to the door and New Hampshire isn't. What do we do with our government then? And how do we, you know, we want to honor the government. We pray for the government. But what do we do if we're being singled out? How do we discern that? Are they being now unjust towards churches? And what do we do? It's a difficult thing. So having you on and sharing your heart, I'm sure there's so many that can identify with you. And it's a tough situation. We don't want to cause fear in our community. I know opening the doors of our church, I don't want to cause fear. And I know of pastors that have done that, and they've caused fear. You know, people in their community go afraid that the churches are opening up. I know in eastern France, I was watching France and the COVID-19 situation there. And really, one of the early epicenters of that was a church that was open on the east coast, on the east side of France, that had a conference and people from around the world. And I forget how many people got infected, and I think even one or two died. And that's happened in churches, you know, around the world, where people have come and, you know, you sing, you have a big choir, or you have a conference. People get sick and they die. And obviously, we don't want that to happen for sure. We want to protect people. It is a challenging situation. And that's honestly what I hear in your heart, too, trying to discern what you're to do in Portsmouth. And it's just not easy. It's not easy for so many of us. And so, wearing a mask, we here in Massachusetts have the guidelines. We can open our church to 40% of our occupancy, but everybody needs to wear a mask. So we're going to follow that. I think our governor actually has been pretty reasonable with the way he's approached it. I don't think our governor has, singled out churches. But I know, you know, there's 50 states, so there's 50 governors and a lot of city governments, and it's very different from town to town and community to community and state to state. So we have a different situation going on. And again, and even a different rate of infection and spread of the virus. So it's quite a time. And in our nation. And so your church now, you just opened up, but you were closed for 2 months.
Yes.
And for 2 months you were closed, and you said you were using the opportunity. You're like, okay, the question you had was, okay, God, you're sovereign, which I, you know, obviously agree, and every Christian, I would imagine, does. God, you're sovereign. That means you're above this. And so what your question was, a great question. You said, what do you want me to do in this? You know, rather than, you know, God, why are you doing this? God, why are you allowing this? More the question is, as the Christian, and I thought that was a great question, and we're going to be going to a break here in just a little bit, but what do you want me to do in this? And that's how you looked at COVID-19, and so as you shared, you began to minister. You began to, wanted to be faithful to your people, stay in touch with your people, minister to your people. And then whatever way you could, as you mentioned, ministering to first responders, ministering to people in the community, whatever you could do. But that question is a the key question, and that answer is a great answer. You know, God, what do you want me to do in this? And I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, if we could, at our break. And when we get back from our break, I'll just have you, you know, kind of continue with that thought, you know, what to the church and whatever else the Lord puts in your heart. But again, I do appreciate you're being honest, and we're all in a different situation and yet the same, trying to figure out what to do. And this is quite a thing. It's quite a thing in the things that we're being faced with. So you're listening to Renew FM. This is Pastor George Small. I have on the air with me Pastor Jim Davis. He pastors a Great Bay Church in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and he's a church planter, been there 7 years, and God has been blessing the ministry. And he has just shared with us just the challenge with having the church closed and wondering if maybe that churches should have been opened up sooner in New Hampshire based on businesses being open and so forth, and just the challenge in being in ministry and a church and facing that situation. So we're going to come back in 2 minutes here, but stay tuned. Again, you're listening to Renew FM. listening to the second half hour of this special 1 hour program on Renew FM. And we have had with us, Pastor Jim Davis from a church, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, pastors a church there, sharing his heart. And we're going to return to our interview. But Pastor Jim, welcome back to Renew FM.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, just before the half hour, I was mentioning, because you made such a great point, and it's a great point in so much of our lives when we are in situations we don't understand, where COVID-19, God, you're on your throne, and I don't know what this is all about, but your perspective was, what do you want me to do in this? And I think that is such a great truth, because, you know, you take away even COVID-19, you take away so many trials we go through, right? And we can get into the why God? And really, that just doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's accepting God is sovereign. You know, also God is good and God loves us. And it's, what do you want me to do in this? Or what do you want me to learn in this? You know, what's the response you want from me in this, Lord? And taking that different perspective rather than, you know, why God? And so as we come back the second half hour, you know, I begin with that. And Jim, just want to give you an opportunity to continue to encourage our audience.
Awesome. Thank you. I think like everyone, the COVID thing just sort of took me by surprise and seemed like at first not extremely threatening. And then it's built and built until you realize, man, this is a huge deal. And the entire world is being affected by it. And I remember thinking, you know, here we are in this small city, small town, just trying to be faithful, serving God. And how can we, you know, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to, we can't even go out and meet people. We can't go out and evangelize. We can't, you know, we like to go out in the middle of the town square and sing and meet people and pray for people and different things. And it's like, how are we going to do that sort of thing? And so I remember going to the Lord in prayer and just saying, you know, God, what do you want us to do? How does this work? And if this is what church is going to be like for the next 15 days, because first we had a 15-day stay-at-home order, you know, and then what's it going to be like for 30 days and 2 months? And God, how long is this going to go on? You know, and we can't just sit on our hands and do nothing. Is that what you want, God? You want us just to absolutely disappear from helping people, you know, being in public or what's going on? And then as a pastor, I just want to tell you, one of my concerns was that our own people would feel disconnected from the ministry and from each other. And, you know, then I thought, well, man, if we do reopen, you know, a couple of months down the road or 3 months, whatever it's going to be, will they even come back, or will they get used to not being churched, you know? And so I had all these concerns and just went to the Lord and, you know, what do we do? And I felt very strongly that he said, you're going to do what you've been doing. You're going to reach out to people. You share me through relationship. You know, how are you going to maintain relationship with your people in your church? And so I realized I have to use the tools that we have at hand. You know, we live stream already. We, you know, I try to text people regularly. We reach out through social media. So we need to increase our presence, and we need to just make sure that the people who are at risk in our congregations don't feel alone. So we started reaching out to the elderly, reaching out to families with young children, saying, how can we help them? You know, the more we got into it, it's like God began to like prime the pump with ideas. So we had devotions we made from our children's ministry, where they had a video and an activity page that parents could do with their kids who were being homeschooled, and different things, so that every day there was a new something coming out that families could take advantage of to teach their kids, to have like a Bible class and a fun coloring thing to do or some sort of other activity. And then we realized, well, you know, we could do the same with adults. We could do daily devotional.
Coloring class, yeah.
Yeah, no coloring pages. But we could do that. And then, well, you know, how can we do home meetings? Well, we can use Jitsi or Zoom or something and do anchor groups. And those were the congregation that was contacting us, asking us to do that stuff. They wanted us to reach out more in that way. And then should we do men's and women's Bible studies, you know, was the question. How can we do that? So we just started to really work at staying in contact with our congregation so that they didn't feel alone and they didn't feel detached. Then it's like, okay, how do we get out in the community? What do we do? How can we help people? You know, is there something we can do? You know, you certainly can't go to people's doors and people are wary of you walking up to them, you know, because you have a mask on and they have a mask on. And, you know, what is there something that we can do? And so we just tried several different things and, you know, some of it was successful and some of it was not. But I don't feel bad about that. You know, I feel like, well, we tried, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep trying to reach people. And, something else I try to do is stay in touch with other pastor friends in the area, encourage them and be encouraged myself. So what I experienced through that was I didn't have the answers. And I went to God and I said, look, you know, I want to be faithful and I don't know how to do this. Please show me. And he began to show me and he showed me through other people, mm-hmm. our congregation, asking for things. And then we just had to figure out a way to try to make that work. And so I see him at work. And like I said earlier, you know, none of this took him by surprise. And what's interesting, I've talked to several pastors, and their viewership on their online stuff has increased.
Right.
In some cases, doubled.
Right.
You know, and pastors giving, many of their giving has increased.
Yeah, yeah.
As people seeking to be faithful, saying, I haven't forgotten the ministry of the church, you know.
Yeah.
And that to a pastor is very encouraging, of course. And so I see God at work. And honestly, one of the biggest ways is I think reminding people that there are so many things bigger than the individual person and what we want and our self-absorption and, you know, our white picket fence and house and all that stuff. There are bigger issues at stake. And that life is not guaranteed to anyone, you know. And I think that has been a great reminder for people just to recognize that we are really not the king of our own destiny. I think people have been a little shaken up by this whole thing, and it's a great ministry point to be able to talk to people, you know. And so.
Yeah, these truths that you're sharing are things that many have said in many different ways, and we can relate. I think a lot of the pastors and ministry leaders that are listening at this moment, you know, getting caught off guard and then figuring out, what am I supposed to do? You know, we're supposed to be meeting as a church. We have all these things. For some churches, they weren't even doing the social media so much or the video, and then, you know, trying to figure that out. And quite a thing that has happened. But at the same time, as you've mentioned, to see God's faithfulness, and it is quite a thing to see God continue to provide for churches and God to continue to, you know, even like you said, all the extra viewings that people are seeing, you know, the more connection through the social media and so forth than there was before. So it's quite a thing, a pretty remarkable thing that has happened. Just see the faithfulness of the Lord. But, you know, to be reminded, as you've said, that life is bigger than our little things that we thought before. Life is bigger than our possessions. Life is bigger than our hobbies. And our life is bigger than, you know, whatever we thought. You know, life is bigger. Life can change in a moment. There is no guarantees. It is absolutely true. And in an incredible way, the entire globe just kind of, you know, stopped here and people's lives changed. And we're wondering, even now, we're starting to open our doors again and starting to see some things come back, but we don't even know what that really is going to mean financially in the election. What is it going to mean beyond that as far as, you know, any reoccurrence? And, you know, I know in 1918, the second wave of the Spanish flu was the worst one. Not the first one, it was the second one. So, you know, what is this all going to mean, right? Quite a thing in our life. So, you know, Jim, as you've shared these things, and this is unprecedented, you know, in our day, and I'm sure anybody I can interview, old or young, this is unprecedented. It just to be in a time like this where the world so quickly and all over the globe has changed. So when you look at the world right now and what God is allowing, you know, what are your thoughts about what God is allowing? And, you know, you mentioned about what he's teaching, you know, life is bigger than us and bigger than our perspective. But what else do you see, you know, even the times and the signs and so forth about the time we're in?
Yeah, that's a big question. I think
it is.
I think, you know, we're studying Revelation. We're going through a series on Revelation in on our Sunday series, and I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and I know that different people believe different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even as I've been teaching it, you look at something like what's going on with COVID and people that, you know, have been passing away and things getting shut down, and it was so drastic and big that I think a lot of people were thinking, oh my gosh, is this the tribulation? You know, have we gotten there, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, so I believe the church is raptured, caught up with the Lord before that.
Yeah.
But even if you believe in mid-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture, I think that we could say that, yes, this definitely points to end times. Our world is big time affected by it, and it has set things spinning in a crazy direction, and it feels like the end of the world, but it's not anything in comparison to what we're going to see at the tribulation.
Right.
You know, it's, and that is the staggering part of it. I mean, if you look at what's happened with COVID-19, and that it affected the whole world, that people came together in giant groups to try to figure out how to combat it. And they've had all of these different conferences and meetings and people making models and figuring out, you know, what's going to happen, and just the turmoil and the hubbub and the economy being affected and so many things being shut down. And you look at all of that. It feels huge, and it is big. It's gigantic, and it's impacted everything. And to think that there's something coming down the line, mm-hmm. down the road, that is so much bigger
mm-hmm.
and so much more drastic mm-hmm. than what we've just experienced with COVID-19 or what we might experience with the second wave of COVID-19, that in comparison, COVID-19 is... And I, this is exaggeration, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to people who've been impacted negatively by it, but COVID-19 will be like child's play mm. in comparison to the judgments that are put out, you know, that are executed upon the globe,
yep.
In the tribulation, the great tribulation down the road. So for me, I look at this and I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But there's going to be all of these signs, these things happening that are pointing to the fact that we're in the last days, that we're heading towards that point. And I think it's a great way for us to get our attention,
yeah,
to point towards God, to the Maker, and say, God, we need you. We repent. We want a revival.
Amen.
In the church. We want a great awakening across this whole world, but specifically in New England and in the United States.
Yep.
You know, we need that desperately. And I think that that is, you know, that is a great positive impact that can come from a very, you know, difficult season.
Yes, amen. You know, I might have mentioned this on one or two of these times I've done this interview, but our church, I felt led to go through Joel. We've done, you know, did a few special messages when the COVID-19 thing got going, but then I ended up going through Joel. In the book of Joel, the first chapter is the day of the Lord, but it's a present day of the Lord where there is a natural disaster that has happened. It's a locust plague that has come upon Judah, and God sends the prophet into town to, you know, hey, people, look around. This is the day of the Lord, but we need to change our direction because there's an impending day of the Lord coming, and it's going to be even worse. And the impending day of the Lord seems, from my perspective, in chapter 2, to be an invasion of a nation, another enemy army. And God, you know, God calls him to call out, you know, call out to God, cry, you know, have a fast, sacred assembly, get the priests together, weep at the altar. God is gracious and merciful, and he can forgive and relent, and he, you know, he can leave a blessing, in fact, and he can even restore what the locust has eaten. And so you got the day one, I mean, chapter one, you've got the present day of the Lord. Chapter two, you got the impending day of the Lord. But when he speaks of that, he then, as he speaks of the blessing that God will bring as they change in their heart, he sees then all the way to Pentecost. He sees the last days, and he speaks of, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2, you know, the Pentecost, you know, that, you know, old men will dream dreams and your sons and daughters will prophesy, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But with the last days of the Lord, he goes right from that, and he goes into the great day of the Lord, the last great day of the Lord that you mentioned. And it's interesting, there's like different days of the Lord. There's the present, then there's this national situation. If they don't repent, God's going to have to discipline Israel. But then he sees to the bigger picture, the greater day of the Lord that is going to come where the nations invade Israel, and then how God delivers Israel. And it's true. I wanted to go through that because COVID-19, wow, look around, you know. And is there a message here to the people of the United States? You know, God is ultimately God. I'm certainly not. But were we slipping down a slippery road into darkness and going there real quick, and God has intervened and calling to this nation, you know, using September 11th and 2008, the financial crisis, and now this time to say, nation, America, change your ways, you know. And I think that's possible, but I'll leave it with the Lord. But even as you've mentioned, we are living at an amazing time. At the beginning of Joel chapter 3, I believe, you know, God, when Joel sees, you know, those days off in the future, he then speaks of, you know, in those days. And in those days, what he describes at the beginning is when the Jews return to their land. And I was teaching on that on Sunday that, you know, he sees the great day of the Lord, but it's a time when the Jews are back in their land. And I said, you know, here we are. It's been 72 years since Israel's been a nation. Last year was a record year for immigrants, Jewish immigrants to Israel. In the last decade, 250,000 Jews have immigrated to Israel, and 38,000 last year. It was a record year. And there's even more and more, you know, Jews coming from around the world, fulfilling other prophecies and going back. And there is a nation, and it's quite a remarkable thing, because that's right there in chapter 3 when Joel speaks of, you know, that's the beginning, and he goes right into the nations invading and the great day, you know, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat and the Valley of Decision, you know. And it's right. quite a thing. And as you mentioned, you know, what this is telling us in the present, or what we're being reminded about our own lives. But where are we in time? And, yeah, there's a greater day of the Lord coming. There is. It's true. And I do pray that the church is more serious about the Lord. You know, Peter says at the end of his letter, you know, all this stuff is going to just be consumed, you know, and we should live wisely. God is gracious and merciful and long-suffering, but we should be living for him, you know, in holy conduct and serious for Jesus. And I pray for a revival, as you've mentioned. But I just share that with you, and as you've shared for a little bit, you know, so many of us are thinking similar things. And I think even outside the church in America, there are many people that are wondering, you know, is God correcting us? I've even read some polls, statistics, even non-Christians who think God's getting our attention or we need to change our way. It's quite a fascinating thing that is happening in the world. And what's coming next, only God knows, but we are alive at an amazing time.
Absolutely. I love what you brought out about the church being serious about it. It's one thing to sit back and analyze it, but there is an application part of this whole thing, which is if the church is supposed to see it, then we're supposed to wake up and we are supposed to come out of our slumber and care enough about people to begin to share the love of Christ with people. The truth is that many who don't know Christ will die and be separated from God for eternity, or go into this final great day of the Lord and live through horrific things, and or perish during that time. And the church has the ability to share the love of Christ, just to reach out, because God does want us to repent. He is so merciful. Even throughout the book of Revelation, you see it over and over and over again, that God was waiting. God was hoping for repentance, because mm-hmm. it says right there, but the people would not repent. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful opportunity as believers to share the love of Jesus and talk about his loving kindness and that he wants them to come to him,
Yeah, amen. Well, amen. We've got just about two more minutes to go, Jim, and I'm going to just ask you here at the very end, in just 2 minutes, somebody's listening, and I do this a lot, but somebody's listening, they've been listening to our conversation, and they don't know Christ. And we've talked as two Christian pastors, and we've used some, biblical terms and biblical perspective, but what would you say to the person right now that's listening that has never given their heart to Christ?
I would say that you have an opportunity right now to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear that Jesus, the Son of God, he came, he died on a cross for the forgiveness of sin. And if you will believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, and that he died and rose again, if you believe and you receive him into your life, if you will bow your knee to him, so to speak, he will come into your life. His Holy Spirit will take up residence in you. You'll have a relationship with him where he will open up the Word of God to you. You can read the Bible and understand him speaking to you. He will help you. He will guide you. He wants you to know him. And the truth is that we talk about heaven a lot, which is someday when your physical body ceases, you'll go to heaven, or that Jesus Christ will return for the church maybe before you die physically. And that's awesome. We have all of eternity to worship him at his throne. But right now, in these days, you can have him in your life. These days, he will be your friend. These days, he will be your companion. And he asks that you let him be the boss, that you let him, we call it being the Lord of your life, but it means he's the boss. And so I want to invite you right now to just tell him that you believe and that you want him, and let him forgive you of all your sin, and to fill your life.
Amen. Amen, Jim. Thank you. Well, we're at the end of our time, and as Pastor Jim shared, you can right now ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and turn your heart to him and put your trust in what he's done through his Son. Well, it's been a privilege having you with us, Pastor Jim, and thank you for all the listeners for being part of this again. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. God bless you and have a good night.
listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.